welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to WonderPod Episode 5. Everybody's in a lot better shape this week, I'm hoping. Except Patrick, who might be dying of the plague. Anyways, as usual, I have Gunsage.
I have Don Z. Crunches. Very good shape I am in.
And Patrick.
What's up, everybody? Woo, Episode 5.
I got it right.
That's right.
Games we've been playing, or attempting to play. Gunsage, tear it up.
Oh, I was doing Condemned 2 recently. I had played through all of Condemned 1, loved it. Played through Condemned 2 not too shortly after, loved it recently. Well, yeah, recently bought it. Beat it on the hard mode, and then I started playing first-person shooter mode, which is just about the cheapest fucking thing ever. In a game where you're supposed to go ahead and basically do first-person combat, kind of similar to the one Vin Diesel games or whatever they are, the ones that, you know, that I like that I somehow cannot remember now for some reason. Yeah, but anyway, sort of similar to that, except you can also, you can pick up various melee weapons and such, but basically in first-person shooter mode, you can you start with a gun, so even as soon as it's like, you hit the left trigger to punch, pow! You just start shooting bums right in the face.
And we all know that keeps Gunsage easily amused. By the way, the game you were trying to think of was Riddick.
Yes.
Chronicles of Riddick.
Chronicles of Big Dick.
Yep. Anything else you've been playing? You joined us for Shield Force one night, but as everybody listens to this podcast knows, we play that every fucking week.
I did a little more of the new Super Mario Brothers Wii. Mario 3-3 or something.
Version 3.5.
Exactly. Oh, what else have I been playing? It's mostly just that, but... oh, yeah. I was doing Mega Man X Command Mission and Breath of Fire Dragon Quarter and Hardwood Hearts on Xbox Live Arcade.
My, what a well-rounded gamer you are.
Yep. Got to have my hearts.
The problem I have with it is that I know you play it normally, but knowing you the way you get wound up when we're playing COD, and then picturing you going to a game like Hearts, which is traditionally played by old ladies at church, there's just this mental image I get that just is like, play a card, bitch, or I'm gonna shield you.
No, what I do is if they're taking like almost a solid minute to make a move, you can make your character throw snowballs and stuff. So I throw a snowball at him.
Is there a voice in this or not?
Yeah, you can do voice chat. Some people get really, really aggravated, but I'm just like, it's a card game. Whatever, chill out. It is annoying if you pick up the queen multiple times, which has happened. But for the most part, it's pretty fun. I mean, you get people on there that are pretty skilled, and some people on there that really have no business playing Hearts.
Yeah, I get my ass kicked by the Windows version all the time, so I don't play it on Xbox Live. Okay, Patrick, you up. What have you been playing this week?
I downloaded the Battlefield Bad Company 2 online demo. You know, I was excited to give this a try because I'm a very big fan of Battlefield 1943, as I've stated multiple times in our previous podcast. Bad Company 2, I mean, it has its good points, and unfortunately it has its not so good points, at least the demo did. My initial impressions of the demo are actually that of a little bit of disappointment, to be honest. But I think that's probably just because of the game type that the demo is. There's also no voice communication, and of course there was nobody to play with that was intelligent, really. But I'll start with the good things about the game, based on the demo at least. The visuals are nice. Sounds are good. It's got a lot of action in it, and there's tons of vehicles to control. Plays differently enough, I think, from Modern Warfare 2 to justify having both titles if you really wanted to. And the online was actually really smooth. I don't know what they were complaining about, but by the time I got on it, everything was nice and smooth. The bad things about the demo are the voice communication is absolutely broken. You couldn't talk to anyone in the game, which is pretty bad in a game where you're supposed to be basically in a team.
Oh, it's Left 4 Dead.
Yeah. Speaking of teamwork, nobody wanted to be in a team. I tried to get into a tank with a guy. I got there, and then he just parked his tank in front of a mountain and shot it. And I was like, what the fuck is this guy doing? So I got out, and then I got sniped in the head right away. So that wasn't fun. I think the game type that's in this demo is called Rush. I'm not sure. I think that's what it's called.
Yeah.
Definitely not my favorite game type. As a matter of fact, I don't think I'd probably play that if it was, if there were other options. I really wish that they used that 1943, their classic game type, or even just a deathmatch variant for the demo, because then I'd had a better, I don't know, a better grasp of the demo. But they didn't, because basically they're assholes. And so I got a question to you guys. Anybody here thinking of picking it up or not?
No.
No?
I will more than likely pick it up. And actually, after listening to you the other day, I'm kind of hoping this scares off some of the dumber gamers, what they did with this demo. Because you should give a player, in my mind, in a demo, especially for a franchise you're trying to hype up in comparison to COD, you should give a gamer a game type that they understand so that the control differences, the fact there's vehicles in it and stuff, makes it easier for them to get acclimated. And so then they're having fun.
Yep.
But the byproduct of it being a shitty game type is hopefully it'll keep some people away that would have annoyed me. So, I mean,
Oh, that's okay. Go ahead.
I will pick it up.
Yeah. I was just going to say there were a lot of people that annoyed me in the game, that's for sure. But it was just a bad game type to not have a squad to work with. If you were rushing towards the targets, you're up on top of a mountain going down, and you would just get sniped or annihilated. If you were defending, you just set up and shot them as they came down. I didn't think it was very fun, but I love 1943, so I mean, if they have a game type that's like that capture the flag type thing, I'll probably pick it up. I know Troy, aka Loco Sinister, and I think Mr. El Mexicano as well, as they're thinking about getting the game too, so that should be good.
Yeah, and I don't know if I'll buy it on release day. That'll be finances more related for me, but I'll pick it up. I mean, I'll want something to, I'm getting a little bored of COD finally, so. And we'll eventually talk Guns Age into doing it at some point.
Possibly. It depends on how many people are doing it. Because that's the only reason I picked up Modern Warfare 2. I was like, huh. So 10 people are on, and of those 10 people, 8 of them are playing Modern Warfare 2. How convenient.
Well, and that's the thing. I have to say that Pat and I were just getting to know each other and start playing together when the last COD came out. And even though I didn't like World at War, I played it more and still found it enjoyable because Pat was on there, Eyepinch was on there, there's one or two others I'm forgetting. And it was the same with COD Modern Warfare 2. I've lasted longer not getting bored and tired of it because you guys are on there.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Makes a big difference.
If I didn't have even good old El Mexicano, even if I didn't have that group, God forgive me for saying that, even if I didn't have that group, if I didn't have that group, I probably would pass by Battlefield 2 and wait for the Medal of Honor reboot.
Yeah.
But as I think I've said before on the show, the two things I like about the Battlefield 2 is watching Halo and COD hardcore players get run over by tanks because they're going to try and play it like Halo or COD. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the group dynamic of you guys and whoever else picks it up that's on my friends list, you know, that makes it for me. So,
yep, but Model of Honor, Modern Beard Fair.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that guy's beard is an unlocked weapon if you want to know the truth.
Yeah. Yep.
But I will tell you this, if the voice communications are broken in game and it's not fixed in the first couple weeks, it'll go back. I mean, I don't love them enough to hang on to it like I did with COD and some of the server issues, but if it's not too wonky after the first week or so, you know, I could see it being the title that we continue on with for group play after COD. So, okay, and then what I've been playing this week is really, this week's been a nightmare for me. I've been busy, but played more Fable 2, obviously. Been going back through that. And then I played a game I picked up off of Steam for $5 called Port Royal 2. It's kind of like Sid Meier's Pirates, only you do a lot more RTS stuff. You do a lot more trading and building stuff. It's not for everybody. If you don't like the RTS genre, you're not going to like this game. It's a pretty good, well-rounded game. It's not the greatest, but for $5, I mean, you can't beat it. It's Steam, so, you know, it's not too bad. And really, that's really all I've been playing. Of course, COD, but really, that's all I've been playing.
Yep.
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 Yay, world record, shortest games we've been playing this week. Which caught me a little off guard, because now it's like, well, oh shit, that's right, we do news. We do something else on this show, I think. So anyways, our first news story comes from our lovely friends at Game Politics. It's columnist, War Games Glorify Combat, Manipulate Youth. Well, only if they're stupid. Because if you think that's combat, kids, go sign up for the Army. You'll be what they commonly refer to as cannon fodder. War-themed video games are just one part of the man's, nice fucking hippie reference, plan to promote the glory of war among today's youth. Again, only if they're stupid. Helping to ensure that young minds are distracted so that the war machine may continue to keep filling the coffers of big government. This thought process is put forth by an editorial of the Orangeville Citizen website and a column penned by Constance Scrapefield Denby. She's got three names, you know you're in trouble. Who hinges some of her arguments on the popularity of war games such as Call of Duty, Modern Warfare 2. Author refers to older Call of Duty World at War. Why, it was a shitty game. It had zombies in it. You see that in real combat every day. First quote from her is, other really popular video games are about wars in space, wars in medieval times, killing dragons and monsters, killing alien, killing, 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 killing. That's all you need to know. Scrapefield Danby argues that the U.S. economy cannot afford peace, and that our leaders make a show of struggling among themselves with their own sticky determination not to change anything. She expands her thoughts to additional areas where change is fought tooth and nail, concluding that change's biggest enemy is greed. No shit, Sherlock. But what if young people suddenly woke up to this? They suddenly realized what is actually happening to their world and to them. What if they suddenly started to care? I know. What if they suddenly began to insist on change? I thought we did that. On peace, on going green, and finding other ways to make airplanes fly. I support flying monkeys for that last one, because that's what's currently coming out of my ass. Scrapefield Danby then answers her own question. The old dogs, greed politicians, could never let that happen. So what do? They see to it that even WW2 is still relevant. Well, okay, this is where I'm stopping for the first time. That was a giant world conflict that will happen again if we don't pay attention to the lessons from it. Now, maybe not in video games, mostly because the genre has been done to death. It should still be relevant because, as the old saying goes, if don't pay attention to history, you're bound to repeat it, which we do over and over and over again. Already, this woman's a freaking tool. To continue with her quote, that being part of that longtime nightmare is desirable. It is the most widespread Machiavellian, oh, she's bringing him into it, manipulation of youth in our history. This is not even the promotion of war as something noble, etc. And no, that's because war's not noble. It is a promotion of war using the full weight of technology to present the horrors and glowing gore from a totally unrealistic place of safety. Oh, for fuck's sake.
Blah, blah.
Yeah.
First off, this is just a veiled attempt at blaming games again. As I said at the opening of the story, if people of an age to sign up for the military are dumb enough to think that Modern Warfare 2 is how combat happens, you're in for a rude surprise. And if you don't figure it out quick, you're probably not going to live very long in a real combat situation. And I know this, having never been anywhere near combat. I'm smart enough to go, yeah, I don't think so. You get a chunk of lead stuck in your ass, and you're not going to get back up again.
Nope. No auto-recover.
Yeah. Yeah, again, we've talked about this in previous episodes. You know what the biggest thing that causes violence and wars? It's simple. Human nature.
Yep.
And the problem is, and the reason you get loons like this blaming video games is nobody wants to look at themselves as part of the problem. Every human is violent. We have been violent since we first walked upright, and we will be violent until we finally split the damn planet in half. If world peace suddenly and spontaneously broke out tomorrow, I would be the happiest man on the planet, but I'm not naive enough to fall for it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. You could take any government style, any type of human, and eventually something is going to happen that's going to cause some kind of conflict. And here's the thing she misses. At least with computer nerds, they're fighting on message boards. They're not shooting each other. I mean, in a way, they're more peaceful by calling each other trolls and following Jim Sterling around, calling him the worst thing that's ever happened to the internet. You know, I mean, you know, that's not guns. That's not knives or violence. So, you know.
No, man. The words are too.
God, California. I love living here, but some days. this is the kind of Fruit Loops, you know. I mean, and I'm sure that some of our more liberal readers will be screaming, oh, look, he's a right-wing Republican. No, I hate them too. But but there's just a point where you have to realize that, you know, violence is going to happen. Could we lessen it? Maybe. But you're not going to stop it. Not when humans are the cause of it, and it's our very nature that makes us violent.
You know, if there was world peace tomorrow, I would totally take advantage of it by beating the hell out of people.
See? That's the thing. That's like been my counter argument to these internet anarchists that read two badly written anarchy sites and are all for that. Go ahead, Sparky. I know I'm going to survive because I'm going to kill you in the process so that I do. I don't want to. I would only commit a violent act against somebody if I was threatened or feel threatened for my life. I am a pretty laid-back, nonviolent person, contrary to popular belief, and I play violent video games and I own guns. There's something not right here about, you know, supposedly what causes violence and this and that. It's because I was taught right from wrong and taught responsibility. I'm starting to stray a little too far from video games, and I apologize, but it's this kind of shit that just makes me want to punch windows, because they're not helping. They're not helping the problem. They're just making it worse. You gentlemen have anything to add? I'm done, because I'm just pissing myself off.
One thing that she says, it's in quotes here, is the best, most loved, most played video games in the world are the ones about killing. Well, I don't know. There's a lot of... What about Super Mario? That's one of the most popular games in the world. There's no killing in there. What about Farmville? Yeah. A lot of killing in Farmville on Facebook or Peggle.
Let me interrupt you just real quick, and I apologize, but scroll down and read the first comment. I was hoping one of you'd get it before I said it, and then read the second one.
New Super Mario's beat Modern Warfare 2 in sales last year. Learn research, please.
read the second one now.
Do you care nothing for the murder of unarmed Goombas? Bowser is a clear representation of the misunderstood problems in the world, while Mario is our ever-violent response. Why can't Mario just talk out his problems? How many Koopa Troopas must be stomped on before people oppose such violence? Yep. That is true. Yeah.
Well, I've always said that anyone who's played Mario liberally should never, and I mean never, work in a veterinarian office. Koopa Troopas! My turtle!
I actually got in trouble for, we did a story about some poor lady's turtle that escaped her yard on Station Nation. And got trapped under a car.
Oh, yeah.
And Alan's reading it all seriously, trying to be nice. And I'm like, was the turtle shooting blue sparks out from under it as it was being dragged behind the car? Dan cut it out of the show, but JCC's like, dude, it wasn't a very good story. That one throwaway joke. But JCC's like, dude, that's mean. I'm like, I'm sorry, I couldn't help it. I think Mario Brothers. That's the first thing that came to mind.
That's hilarious.
I thought so. Nobody else did.
Oh, well.
Well, now you know about it. I'm not cutting it out this time, so there you go. It didn't end up being... Dan cut it correctly. It wasn't a very good story, but that I was a little disappointed my blue sparks line got kicked out. So you gentlemen pretty much think she's
an idiot.
Yeah,
tinfoil.
Okay, the second one I want to do involves you gentlemen.
Gentlemen.
Yeah, you got more people.
Sorry, I had to mute. That was great, we're keeping it, but I had to mute my mic because I was coughing again. I got something stuck in my throat. Yeah, do not make any cock jokes, or I will hunt you down. Because I want to do them. I got Lewinsky under my desk. Okay, IGN has done this thing, and I just noticed it. It's the best thing IGN's done in years, as far as I'm concerned. They are going through the decade, best of the decade, by year. And I'm sorry, I disagree with the idiots. I think, as far as I'm concerned, 2010 is the start of a new decade. I don't give a shit about the zero in the year, same with the bullshit. It's a new decade. Piss off. Now, this is their best games of 2000. I am going to read them from 10 to 1. If you guys want to stop and debate any of the numbers, just holler stop.
Stop.
Shut up. But basically, I'm going to read them out if there's anything that you're thinking while I'm doing it, because I don't want this to turn into the best of awards like it did that last time. But I just found it interesting. Yeah, there's no RPGs on here, Gunsage, so you'll... Well, actually, there are, but...
No.
Oh, stop.
Yeah. Okay, so their best games of 2000, and as far as I know, the staff at IGN came up with this, not the readers. I'm not sure which would be better. Okay, number 10 is Perfect Dark from Nintendo, Rare, N64. Number 9, Majora's Mask, Nintendo, N64. Number 8, Choo Choo Rocket, Sega, Sonic Team, Dreamcast. Number 7, Diablo 2. And, you know, that kind of shocked me because I'd forgotten how old that game was. It's like, shit, that's 10 years old. Number 6, Baldur's Gate 2. Number 5, Marvel vs. Capcom 2. Number 4, The Sims. Number 3, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2. Number 2, Deus Ex. And number 1, any guesses? Year 2000. Any guesses as to number 1?
Oh, 2000. I don't know. Shenmue, maybe?
Patrick, any idea?
I'm looking at the article right now. I'm going to guess.
Shut up. You suck.
Counter-Strike.
Yeah, you suck. Cheater.
What was it?
It's Counter-Strike from Sierra.
Oh, okay.
Well, actually, Sierra Studios, Valve was a developer. This is back when Valve... Sierra was big and Valve wasn't.
Yeah.
My, how things have changed in 10 years. Sierra no longer exists and Valve's going to take over the world. Oh, I made somebody really mad the other day when I said Valve's going to become the next Activision. Boy, that didn't go over well. I think more because they're afraid of that being. So, okay, out of those, any disagreements on placement or any of that?
Not really.
I've never played Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2, but I just didn't know that it was that good to be number 3.
Here's the thing. If you take on the mindset of now Tony Hawk is a worn-out, beaten-to-death franchise that EA Skate has overtaken, then you'd probably have an issue with this placement. And the fanboy in me really wants to put Baldur's Gate 2 in number 3. But that's... Baldur's Gate 2 wasn't as good as 1. It wasn't the breakthrough that 1 was. So, at the time, Pro Skater 2 is what allowed the Tony Hawk series, in my mind, to become what it is today, bloated in way too many damn versions. So, yeah, it was pretty breakthrough for the time. I remember when it came off the PSX, and you could actually get it on PC. I bought it the day it came out for PC. Still got it. It'll actually still play on a Vista machine. I'll install it every once in a while. Just to fool around with it. And I also think it has to do, too, with the fact that skateboarding was not quite the humongous fad and on X Games and everything else as it is today. So when that came out, it was like, oh, cool, skateboarding game that looks like it's actually halfway decent, you know. So you could probably... I don't like The Sims at number 4, but I've never been much of a Sims fan, so that may be my problem. I could see Marvel vs. Capcom and Baldur's Gate and Diablo 2 overtaking The Sims, personally. I don't know, Gunsage, you played The Sims. Am I right? Am I wrong?
Sims is okay.
He's learned the mute button. I love him. did you ever play Choo Choo Rocket? That's the only one I never played. I've played everything else.
I've never played it. Nope. Wasn't much of a Sega fan back in the day.
Thank you. Gunsage is reporting in via text. Nope, it sounds like the gayest game that ever gayed. So that's Gunsage's take on Choo Choo Rocket. I think Boom Boom Rocket is the immediate thing I think of, and I like Boom Boom Rocket. So I'm actually pretty, we'll go through 2001 next episode or something like that, or if we're showrun news. But I'm actually pretty happy with their list overall. I don't think they did too bad, considering, nope. Yeah, 10 years ago. Okay, what are we going to do next? We are going to do... I'm surprised you didn't pick up this one, Patrick.
Which one?
It's the one by Iwata, Nintendo president. I thought this was rather hilarious. And then he backtracked the next day. Okay, the topic of this story is Iwata iPad is just a bigger iPod Touch. And, of course... Damn it, I need to quit looking at the text chat. Don't read it. He's contemplating committing a infanticide, and I don't want to be an accessory after the fact, so I'm not reading it. Just so you listeners know, in case I leave this in, Gunsage is having technical difficulties with his children. He'll be back when he gets back. To go back to news, the headline of this one from GameIndustry.biz is, Iwata iPad is just a bigger iPod Touch. Nintendo's Satoru Iwata has responded septically. Wow, that's a pretty good word, actually. To Apple's iPad, saying that the device is just a bigger iPod Touch. I kind of agree with him. The Nintendo president said Apple had delivered no surprises, telling the New York Times it was a bigger iPod Touch. He's not wrong, is the sad.
No.
Iwata also took the opportunity to deny speculation that Nintendo is working towards the release of an HD-enabled Wii, and of course, why learn from your mistakes, and a DS equipped with motion control. Now, I'm going to stop that story right there because the next day on Destructoid, and I can't remember who posted it, so sorry, unnamed author, but you're awesome, he withdrew the comment about the DS equipped with motion control. He backtracked, not about the HD-enabled Wii, But anyways, this is what he said at the time. He said, I question whether those features will be enough to get people to buy new machines, he said. He also expressed his view that 3D gaming wouldn't catch on. Yes, I am vindicated. although I already knew that. Although said he'd welcome 3D films such as Avatar. I don't even like that. I was going to go see Avatar, then I found out it was 3D. I no longer care. I have doubts whether people will be wearing glasses to play games at home. Right there with you, Jet Boy. How's that going to look to other people, he responded. like I said, he did backtrack on the motion control thing, so you're going to be flinging a DS at other people on the city bus, is be my guess. As fast as he trotted out the retraction, I think his bosses at Nintendo got a little hot with him.
Yep.
The possible health effects of 3D game playing would also need to be examined, he said, since users would engage with 3D games for longer periods than they do a two-hour film. Nice use of panicking people. I approve. Because I want it to fail too. Reactions to Apple's iPad following its unveiling on Wednesday have been mixed, with most developers responding positively with the view that the device could shrink the gap that currently exists between the casual and console gaming market. Yeah, I'm going to translate that spin for you. It's Apple. They have to basically develop for him, otherwise they'll die. That's why they're saying that. Others, however, have criticized Apple for creating a device for which there is no market. Totally agree with that. The Apple zombies, as I call them, you all know them, you know, the ones that refuse to admit Apple may have any flaws. They'll buy it, but I don't think they're going to transform too many people. I would bet you it's going to be more expensive, and I bet people would rather buy an iPod Touch. So, Gunsage has rejoined us. Any thoughts on what Iwata, iPad, anything like that, DS with motion controls, yada yada?
Well, I'm just wondering if they're going to start making, you know, technologies for sailors and all that, make the I.
the iCompass.
Yeah.
I think they already make that. It's called a GPS. Maybe they'll just change the name. Apple will buy the concept and just change the name to IPS.
Yeah.
They can make one for Carlos called the iCaramba.
Maybe it have to be the I.
Would it be waterproof so that it doesn't get damaged while trying to swim to another island? or float to America on a raft with a volleyball named Bob, or whatever he was named in that movie.
It would have to be waterproof.
So, Patrick, do you have any thoughts?
Back to Iwata's main point about the iPad is just a bigger iPod Touch. Basically, the man is correct. I mean, essentially, from what I've seen of it, it's just a big-ass iPod Touch. You know, but it is, I guess, another device that could potentially take business away from Nintendo and the very successful DS. The DS is awesome, but it's getting old. It's a great little system, but the iPhone, iPod Touch, now this, whatever it is, iMaxiPad or whatever you call it, it's got better technology. It's got better touch technology, that's for sure. And, you know, the library of apps and games that are on the iPod Touch are a lot cheaper than what Nintendo sells. So, I don't know. I mean, I know that Iwata, the DS right now, it prints money. I know that. It's unstoppable right now, but, you know, he better watch his little Japanese ass, because he shouldn't be so damn cocky. I think that, remember what happened to these guys in the late N64 GameCube era, you know? Another technology came out and took their business away, so I think he's being a cocky little Japanese bastard right now. That's what
well,
I think.
You know what I think?
Oh, go ahead, Gunsage.
I'm going to respond with a link.
Yeah, that's so great in an audio medium, you jackass.
So like, my link is Game Boy Printer.
You had to dig pretty deep for that disaster. I mean, that's like that skeleton is so far in Nintendo's closet. I mean, it's
actually, you know, they had a camera that associated with it too.
I know.
Yeah.
And wasn't it supposed to be like infrared?
No, it was. It was probably a worse invention than the Virtual Boy, and that's really, really doing something there.
I was just gonna say, yeah, I'm gonna add an addendum to my skeletons in the closet line. It's right behind the skeleton that was the Virtual Boy. Yep. Okay, do you think he's right on in attacking Sony and their 3D games? Because I do.
Yeah, I don't think the technology is here for 3D gaming. I think he's right. No? Yep.
I don't think the technology is even here for 3D graphics.
Not easily maintained ones on a personal computer, anyway. Okay, and then one last question dealing with this story, and then the next one, it's going to kill me to read, but I'm going to do it anyway. Are you less excited or more excited knowing that it's a pretty good certainty the next Nintendo handheld will have motion control?
That's age.
Well, I'd have to be excited because you have to go ahead and snort a shitload of pixie sticks in order to play the games now.
Okay, in order to move, I have to shake this thing. I have to shake the shit out of it. It's called Baby Shaker.
They had that for the iPod Touch. Did you guys hear that?
Yeah, boy, that lasted all of about 5 minutes on the App Store.
Nice.
It's still roaming around out there if you want to find it on the black market, back alley app places. But, okay, Patrick, since you were paying attention, what do you think about them?
I pay attention. No, I'm just kidding. I don't think it's going to work on a handheld. I mean, like I think we sort of touched it before. This whole motion control thing, what are you going to be doing? Sitting on the train, sitting on the bus, doing all this crazy shit? I cannot see it working. I mean, it's embarrassing enough, like I said before, blowing into the goddamn thing. I don't know. I don't think it's going to work. I think they better stick with the successful formula they have with the touch screen for a handheld. Personally,
I think so too. I think they might want to make it maybe an option.
Yeah.
But, you know, just so that the technology starts getting in place. But yeah, no, bad idea. Okay, next story. And I really wanted this rumor to be true just because of how hilarious it would have ended up being. This comes to us from Joystick. Halo Reach, not a Rapal title. Actually, Natal. I just like calling it Rapal. Not a Rapal title, being made with a controller in mind. And my first reaction was, God damn it, this is so much unintended comedy going out the window, Bungie, you bastard. Sure, you could take Bungie's latest foray into Mythbusters territory as full-on confirmation of Halo Reach not having Project Natal support. Damn it. Or you could be like us and remain skeptical of the developers' still not straightforward wording. In a recent post on Bungie.net, which I am contractually bound not to click on, the company attempted to answer a mess of myths about the upcoming Halo game. Three quarters of them came from Carlos. including myth, Reach is being built for Natal. God, that would have been hilarious. In answering, the post states, Halo Reach is not, and not is all capitalized, a Natal title, and is being developed expressly with the traditional controller in mind. That said, rather than outright saying there's no support for Project Rapal in Reach, Bungie instead to loosely word their answer. Yeah, it's because you're going to get raped. It certainly doesn't help the situation that multiple Bungie employees have expressed interest in seeing Natal incorporated into the Halo series. Oh, this is hilarious. With Bungie Prez Harold Ryan even saying that he could absolutely see Reach specifically incorporate Natal. Especially if it's going to be $250 on Natal, right? Okay, Patrick, why don't you go first since you're the closest thing we have to a Halo fanboy.
Alrighty, well, so no Project Natal for Halo Reach. Thank fucking goodness. That's all I could say. I can't see Project Rapal or whatever we want to call it working well with any big name hardcore title. That's not what it's being built for. It's being built to take some of the Nintendo Wii's a slice of their pie. It's not for a game such as Halo Reach. The only time it would be maybe fun is if you could perform the teabag maneuver on an opponent. Come to think of it, if I could teabag Carlos using Natal, I probably would. I mean, come on, who would? I teabagged his ass in Halo 3. I even have video of it, theater mode. I think it would be much more fun with Natal. But aside from that, I am actually very thankful. Thank you, Bungie, for not being dumb and not committing suicide with your IP.
Gunsage, your thoughts on the Halo thing, if you care.
Well, my thought process is, so how is auto recover going to work? Could Natal be implemented in that? Like, for example, do you have to shake the shit out of your controller? Do you have to duck behind couches and things of that nature like they were doing in the really awesome, you know, pre-Wii commercials where it's like, holy shit, look at what that guy's doing. He's diving behind a couch like an asshole. But that's going to be the game. It's going to be diving behind the couch like an asshole, the Wii edition. But I think honestly, they could implement it. It would just be really, really, really fucking gay. There's no reason to go ahead and fuck up a formula that's working well. New Super Mario Brothers Wii is a lesson to us all. change is bad.
Yep. See, this is there is only one reason and one reason only for me wanting Natal to be the main controller in Halo Reach. Because to watch the Halo fanboys spit their pacifiers over what a disaster it would be entertaining as hell for weeks on the internet. And I would be safe. I would be able to read their flames, but not have to worry about being anywhere near them when they start spontaneously combusting. I mean, yeah. I could just see Carlos exploding. So in that sense, the smart-ass dick in me is really kind of saddened that they're not going to be that stupid.
Yeah.
The other half of me, though, is like you guys. Good call, Bungie, because it would have been... I don't think it would have been the biggest screaming disaster in 2010. I think that's already been saved for Sony's 3D mess. But I just... Yeah, I'm really kind of... I don't know. I'm torn on this one. I'm kind of half wishing they'd done it and half glad they didn't. Okay, next... Oh, okay, next one I can actually read from memory, but I'm not going to because we all know how much trouble that gets me into. For those of you that were around last week, you remember that Patrick and I, because Gunsage was having technical difficulties, talked about Eric Astolvo and his wonderful lawsuits against everybody but Destructoid and Game Politics, from what I could tell. Well, he's back again this week, and believe me, it's the last time I'll be talking about him, if I can help it. Here's the story. Astolvo drops all suit. We will have to find a new nickname for professional plaintiff serial sewer Eric Astolvo as he's dropping all his lawsuits. Oh, I got several. Just email me. I'll tell them to you. Astolvo wrote that his medical conditions, particularly symptoms related to panic disorder and Crohn's disease, contributed to his decision to abandon the cases. He indicated that the long wait for the cases to be heard were starting to get to him, causing his doctors to advise. He has a whole team of doctors. It's plural, folks. There's an S on that son of a bitch. To walk away from the lawsuits in order to improve his health. Astolvo also provided us with some individual reasons for dropping each case. Mostly due to those being sued making improvements or fixes which seem to appease Eric. I'm going to stop right there and tell you. The reason he quit is somebody finally got through to him and told him it's so brutally difficult to win libel cases here. You need to go to England, which is probably what he's going to do. Huh. Astolvo had sued Sony over being banned from the PlayStation Network, which I covered. What else? He sued Microsoft over the Red Ring of Death. I got the Wii thing wrong last week. He sued Nintendo because their update that rendered his homebrew channel unusable. Of course, his suit against... Oh, fucking everybody. Another factor in dropping these suits was that Astolvo could not afford to pay the process server fees. I bet that bill was huge. Needed to serve the people he had subpoenaed for some of his cases. Those subpoenaed by Astolvo had included, and I screwed up last week, it was not Ashley Judd, it was Bill Gates, Winona Ryder, Depeche Mode's Martin Lee Gore, Lady Sovereign, and Crazy Bone, the rapper. And he had, at the time, specific reasons for calling all those people. I think it Winona Ryder he called because she could sympathize as she'd been through the court system too. Yeah, for shoplifting. Astolvo will also drop his most recent case, which is targeted at a variety of gaming and popular websites for libel. Again, it's because somebody got through to him and told him you can't win libel. Gentlemen, reactions, either one of you, don't care.
Gunsage.
Ah!
Gunsage there.
I think that was Sage's reaction.
That's my reaction. Yeah. All right, well, I might as well go then. So this guy drops all his lawsuit that we were just talking about last week. I mean, this douchebag moron, he must have a total split personality. All right, just can't make up his mind. Seriously, like, he's acting like a woman. He changes his mind every single day, back and forth. Don't be surprised if next week this multiple personality disorder dolt doesn't just change his mind. Again, I don't know, someone must have kicked him so hard in the balls that he came to his senses. Or like you said, he just can't afford to do all these suits. I don't know. Maybe he found something to buy with those Xbox Live Marketplace extra points that he had over last time. What was it, $5 or something we figured out last week?
I don't know. That was the wrong guy. That was the other story. That was the idiot in Philly. Yeah, this wasn't this guy.
So many of these guys. But yeah. I don't know. I don't think it's the last that we'll hear of this guy. I think he'll be back. Like I said, it's a multiple personality. He'll be back, I think, unfortunately.
Well, the only thing I do feel sorry for him about is the Crohn's disease.
Yeah. Yeah.
My problem is he's such a Fruit Loop. Is he telling the truth? If he's not telling the truth, he's an even more horrible bastard, because that disease, the best of my knowledge, is like me after Chili Night 24/7. And I can tell you that ain't fun for anybody. So, you know, that aside, it's just, I pretty much had made up my mind when I read this story, as far as WonderPod goes, unless he does something really extraordinary, this will be the last that we discuss him. I'm going with everybody else. I'm just going to ignore the guy. It's not worth the time. Although Gunsage, who is typing in text, is right. Achievement unlocked. 100 plus lawsuits filed. And then after that, ladies and gentlemen, John and Kate plus Eric. I'd actually watch that for at least 2 minutes before I wanted to vomit.
Project Needle Mouse is Sonic Horror Episode 1. Got this from Kotaku, or however the hell you pronounce this wonderful website.
Kotaku.
Sega has announced Sonic 4 Episode 1.
Kotaku.
Kotaku? As GameSpot reports, it's a 2D downloadable game with 3D visuals.
Yes.
So, the announcement is part of the Project Needle Mouse build-up Sega has been pushing since last September of 2009. Needle Mouse refers to Sonic's code name when the game that would become Sonic the Hedgehog was initially being pitched. I didn't know that. Anyways, it goes on, blah, blah, blah. Basically, they've got a new Sonic the Hedgehog 4, 2D. It's going back to its old roots, which is probably a good idea. What do you gentlemen think of this?
It made Jim Sterling squeal like a girl with glee on Twitter, so I'm assuming it's a good thing. Here's what you need to know from my end. I suck at Sonic games, so I don't play them. I mean, I literally do. I have the original one on Xbox Live, and I can't get anywhere on it. I'm horrible at platformers, so. But if Jim's happy it's going back to 2D, I trust Master Sterling's judgment, so I'm assuming it's going to be a good thing. Gunsage.
My balls are on fire with happiness.
Oh, Christ. The planets must be aligned. We're all going to die. You and Sterling are agreeing again. This can't be right.
Well, I've been saying for a while, they need to do a 2.5D Sonic.
Yep.
It did, you know, Sonic 3 was awesome. The older Sonics were awesome. Sonic 3D Blast, piece of shit. Robotnik's Mean Beam Machine, basically just Puyo Puyo, whatever the fuck that game is.
I love Dr. Robotnik, though.
Well, yeah, but I'm just saying, it's one of those things where it's like, when they stuck to their roots, it worked. And Sonic Adventure wasn't too bad. Never really tried the second one, but it just seems like after they made the transition to 3D, they kind of lost their shit. Whereas Mario, they're just kind of doing the same thing over and over again. Not entirely. Mario 64 was something really new and really fun, but it seemed like it was really well developed, too, at the time. So, I don't know. It's one of those things where I think it'll really, really do well, because that's where he does well.
Let me ask you a question concerning that. Do you think that the fact that everybody's always screaming and hollering for innovation sometimes makes these development teams take a direction that was really bad for a franchise that wasn't broken to begin with?
Yep, absolutely. I mean, okay. For example, Capcom, back on the PlayStation 1, now Capcom didn't make this, but the guy who originally developed fucking Ghouls and Ghosts did, the Tomba games. There were two of them.
Right.
But that was it. After that, it was done. I don't even know if that company still exists anymore. It was Whoopi Camp or whatever. So later, Capcom went ahead and tried to sort of, but not really, revive Ghouls and Ghosts by going ahead and making Maximo, which was one of the most overhyped action-adventure games ever. And it's ridiculously hard, just like the older Ghouls and Ghosts games, but it just doesn't seem to have the same, I don't know, character, something.
It's frustratingly hard. It's like pointlessly hard. Ghouls and Ghosts at least gave you hope. I love Ghouls and Ghosts, but Maximo never did.
Yeah, with Maximo, it was one of those things where it was like, hey, you went ahead and beat a boss. Now, do you want a new inventory slot, or do you want a kiss that will instantly take up that inventory slot? By the way, you only get the real ending if you get all the kisses anyway, so no inventory slots for you.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of those games where you had to earn enough money to save. I mean, it was one of those games where it just had unnecessary shit in it like that. So basically it came down to that, but also here's what I noticed. Now they made Maximo, they made another Maximo game, which I didn't hear did too well. Then they went back and made Ultimate Ghouls and Ghosts for the PSP, and you know what? It's a 2.5D side-scroller, and it fucking kicks ass.
So basically, in essence, you agree that sometimes if it ain't broke, don't fix it applies even in a innovation-hungry game industry.
Absolutely. It's one of those things where sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. You do have to experiment. The only problem is you're not experimenting, like in a little test lab or something. You're experimenting with millions and millions of dollars and resources. So, you know, in that respect, it's really hard to get it down pat exactly what works, exactly what doesn't, what you should and shouldn't be experimenting with. You know, developers are nervous. They want to try new things. They want to jump into new things, but then they do that and sometimes they fall flat on their fucking face. Shenmue, for example, was a great idea, but
right.
they did Shenmue 1, didn't make any profit, did Shenmue 2, didn't make any profit, cut it completely out in Shenmue 3.
Right.
So, every nerd on the planet wants that game to come out, but it's probably not going to happen.
Exactly. So, Patrick, agree, disagree?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, you can't always keep going back to the well, to the exact same thing, but at the same time, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I hate to say it, but Nintendo's got, with Mario, they got it dead on. Not only are they being innovative, not only are they doing the Super Mario Galaxy, the 3D graphics, the gravity effects, they're also successfully going back to the old school. So that's a really hard balance. It looks like, for some reason, Sonic is best 2D, or at least 2.5 dimensional, so I'm glad they're going back to it, and I'm glad they're going back to the old school. Seems to be working better. Maybe they need an all-new development team. Maybe Sonic Team needs to disband and have someone new try a 3D version of it.
Going off Internet 2.0 rules, Sonic Team is probably either half-dead or ready for retirement anyways. So, I mean, you know, partially with both of you. I think sometimes if it ain't broke, don't fix it, works well. But then you take a case. Then the one that pops into my head instantly is Treyarch. Treyarch needs to learn to do something new besides World War II shooters, or have the damn franchise taken away from them. The next story is really easy for me. Do you gentlemen both remember, and Gunsage, go ahead and type in text. I know Gunsage has muted himself because it's rather loud in his household, so we appreciate that and apologize. That's why you're not hearing him. You guys both remember when Best Buy and Walmart ran out their trial of trying to sell secondhand games?
Yes.
Yeah, see, at the time, I figured it'd fail because, you know, with EB Games and GameStop and others like that, that's all they do is sell games and peripherals, you know, some controllers, systems, things like that. Best Buy and Walmart had too many things going on to focus enough on, the used market to make it profitable. And this story from GameIndustry.biz proved me right because they are canceling it. They lost a buttload of money. The company that they hired to run the used game kiosks pretty much pulled it up its tent. They just couldn't make it work. And I sincerely think it has to do with the fact that you have to focus on the used game market. You know, I mean, I think GameStop probably puts more effort into raping us over used game prices than it seems like. So, you know, I'm not surprised by this. How about you, Patrick?
It's different here, actually. Can you explain a little bit for the Canadian listeners here how Walmart and Best Buy did this? Did you say they have a different company and they have some sort of kiosk or something? Is that how I understand how it was going on in the States? Or
right. The kiosk business was called ePlay, and they provided video game buyback kiosks at selected shops.
Okay.
And actually, my local Best Buy had one of these, and I paid no attention to it. I just traded in my games at GameStop like I always do. So you traded in them there, and you got store credit toward the purchase of something else.
Right. But it was a separate, I don't know, it's a separate group that did these kiosks, is that it, or it was Best Buy and Walmart that was doing it?
It was Best Buy and Walmart who were handling the financial end.
Okay.
But they had subcontracted out the actual process to this ePlay business.
Well, it's interesting that maybe that's where they had their fail, was the subcontracting, because here in Canada, Future Shop has been doing the exact same thing successfully since the summer. The ones in Calgary were the first ones to do it, and now all across Canada, Future Shop, which is, for those of you who don't have it or don't know in the States, is basically Best Buy. now it's even owned by Best Buy, for God's sake. So it basically, it's Best Buy in Canada, and they've been doing it successfully. They never set up those bizarre kiosks or whatever. They just had, you go in, you give them their games. They gave you a slightly better price than someone like EB would, and then you got store credit on anything. So you could buy anything in the store with it. Usually you turn around and buy games. And I believe Best Buy is also doing it here in Canada that same way, and I don't think Walmart did it at all. So I think it's kind of weird that here in Canada it's successful, but in the States it's not working. I think it might have to do something about that subcontracting thing, because they didn't do that here.
Yeah, see, GameStop and GameStop / EB Games does the same thing. You hand it to the register biscuit behind the counter. You go pick out a new game or a controller or whatever. I think you're absolutely right. That's what screwed them. You have to do something like that in-house, and you have to make it a goal for it to succeed. You have to, you know, you have to focus pretty heavily on it, because it's a lucrative market, but it's not an easy market to break into. Everybody is so zombie trained to go to GameStop, at least down here in the States, give it to them, get another one, and you're out the door, you know? And so I just think the way the kiosk was located in my local store, it's like I saw it was there, but it's like, oh, so I got to go to this person, and then I got to go to the checkout counter to check out or to buy a new game. Yeah, I don't think so.
Might have been their problem was like too many stages, and it was a bit weird. But like here, Future Shop and Best Buy now, first it was Future Shop that started it. We just go, and there's whoever's, you know, in charge of the video game section. There's a till right there, and they ring you in, and they give you your gift card or your credit, and you can go buy whatever the heck you want with it. So I think they screwed themselves over this way, at least in the States.
Go ahead. Finish your thought.
Oh, I was just saying, it's kind of weird that they did two different programs. They did it differently. I think they started it here in Canada, and then they did the whole kiosk thing in the States, and it didn't work. Kind of strange.
Well, I don't see Walmart getting back into it. I bought used games at Walmart. They have like the bargain bin. It's like a cardboard bin that they're like, all these are $20. All these are $10. So I bought some PS2 games and older 360 games at Walmart. But for the most part, I've never even thought of Walmart as a games retailer. I go to GameStop or I go to Best Buy, you know, or I ordered on Amazon or whatever. So I don't see Walmart getting back into this. I do see Best Buy, I apologize for the phone. I do see Best Buy, retooling it and trying it again, maybe learning from what their Canadian brethren did. So I don't think we've seen the last of Best Buy in this, but we'll see.
Definitely.
It's too lucrative a market.
Yeah.
It's just too lucrative a market. And I think if Best Buy did it in-house, I think they could make it work. According to Gunsage, Best Buy still has older titles for $60, though, fuckers. Yeah, that's your Best Buy, dude.
Interesting thing. Sometimes I would see at Future Shop, at least, their new titles would be on sale for cheaper than the used titles. So it's not definitely not perfect.
I don't know about Future Shop, but with Best Buy, it's franchises. You know, I mean, you buy a franchise, and I kind of think I'm pretty sure the franchise owners have a little something to do with setting the price to a point. Because our Best Buy seems to be pretty good. Like, I picked up the original COD there for like $39, brand new. You know, they were having a sale on it, so. Okay, so, unless either of you gentlemen, Gunsage, did you get any news stories this week?
Huh?
Oh, you're back. He's back voice, people. Give him a round of applause. Since you're back voice, let me backtrack just for a second. Do you think Best Buy... Yeah. Do you think Best Buy will be back in the used market down here in the States, only in a different format, or do you think they've given up altogether?
No, they have given up. I don't know. My personal preference has always been either GameStop or something, because their prices are usually pretty good. I don't always like the sales associates, but prices are usually
right. Oh.
Usually. It depends on where you go. It's weird because, like, okay, I have a Game Crazy, which I guess they're out of Hollywood Video or whatever.
Yep. They're from here, actually. I've been in their store a couple times.
Yeah, and they're not bad. They've got some good people that work at my local one and everything. They usually have pretty good prices. What's funny, though, is I saw a copy of Silent Hill 2 for the PlayStation 2 at a GameStop. It was like a couple of towns over. And I thought to pick it up, and I was like, nah, I don't want to pick it up right now. Then they went ahead and, what was it? Later, I went to the Game Crazy, and I was talking to them. I was like, yeah, I saw Silent Hill 2, because there were a couple of different guys that I had known there. They just kind of come and go as far as working there, not working there. And I was like, yeah, I saw Silent Hill 2, and I thought about picking it up. They're like, oh, my God! Oh my, how much was it? I'm like, well, it was only $12. Oh, holy crap! I would imagine that would have been like $50 or something. I'm thinking maybe online.
Yeah, on eBay.
Yeah, but that's the other thing. As far as GameStop stuff like that, they can try to overcharge for games that are quote-unquote rare, but if they come up with a Shin Megami Tensei Nocturne copy, they're not going to be charging more than $30, I would imagine. So, you know, there's always that. If you're able to find it in one of the local stores, you're always going to get a better deal than online, but that's only for rare copies.
Right.
So it's kind of a here and there thing with me. I would rather go to GameStop or look online or something, because Best Buy doesn't know what the fuck they're doing with their prices at all.
Yeah,
at least in my area.
Yeah, see, I have no clue, honestly, how it works, but our Best Buy isn't bad. They're not great, but they're actually not that bad. I pick up games there every once in a while. So as we wrap up this story, do either of you gentlemen have a gamer dick for this week? Because I don't, and I just got an idea to wrap up the show.
I don't have a gamer dick this week. It's been amazing. No gamer dicks.
I've mostly been playing single player games. There was that one dude on Modern Warfare 2 that didn't take the flag, but we already discussed that in a previous one.
Right. So here's what I want to talk about, because you reminded me of something with GameStop.
Okay.
Now, I use the term register biscuit, and I stole that from Gabe at Penny Arcade, and I love it. A punchline in one of their comics is, just ring it up, register biscuit. And I stole it, and I use it all the time, because there are 3 full-time employees at my GameStop that I've noticed, at least the times a day I'm in there. One is a woman, and she's not too bad. She's actually pretty cool. She's the one that told me, hey, I'll give you this much credit if you trade in your red-ringed Xbox and sell you an arcade, and it actually ended up working out to be about the same money as if I'd sent it off in its coffin to Redmond. So that, you know, she's pretty cool, pretty knowledgeable, pretty laid back. But we have this guy, and I'm curious if you run into these guys in either of your locations. He will critique the title you pick up. Now, as best as I could tell, he's a diehard RPG nerd. So every time I pick up a shooter, he like sniffs at it, goes, oh yeah, I hear that's going to do fairly well, but I wouldn't know. I don't play games like that. I am the paying customer, he said this to me.
Now, douche.
Now, I went back about a week later and bought Overlord 2.
Yeah.
And I did use the ring it up register biscuit line on him, which got the other guy, who I never really have had that much dealing with, so I don't really have any category for him, per se. I got him to laugh at him, though, and I think it pissed him off, because he's the manager, and he's just a total douchebag.
Register biscuit.
Anyways, he's just one of those elitist gamers, except he's an RPG nerd, so I've never quite seen it RPG genre. It's kind of always been a shooter thing. Anyways, I went back in there a couple weeks later and picked up Overlord 2, and he approved of that. Oh yeah, that was a fun little action RPG title. That's a good buy. And I'm like, well, I'm glad you approve of one of my purchases for once.
Yeah.
Does that mean I'm a real gamer now? Because he gave me that look like, oh, you're just a casual gamer. When I bought COD, you know, I'd love to see what he looks at people like when they buy Halo. But do you notice this with people at your various electronics boutiques? And does it annoy the shit out of you as much as it annoys the shit out of me?
I have not run into this typically. And I'll tell you, honestly, when I do, it's one of those situations where I'm like, okay. And then as soon as I'm done with them, I'm like, oh, I'm not going fucking back there again. Screw that.
Yeah, I don't want to travel 20 miles to the next GameStop up.
I know. I've got a couple of them near me. That's the reason why I'm like, well, whatever, fuck you.
Believe me, I've thought about it, because it's straight up a freeway, and it'd be a quick trip. That guy's pissed me off enough. I've thought about it.
Yeah.
So you've never actually run into this phenomenon.
Well, okay. About the worst thing that's ever happened to me at one of these fucking electronic boutiques. This was an electronic boutique at the time, not a GameStop.
Right.
The local mall. Oh, my fucking Christ. First off,
we have a software, et cetera, in the local mall. You avoid that like you avoid the bubonic plague.
Well, it was one of these little-ass hole-in-the-wall, like, fucking goddamn 2-foot by 2-foot box-type fucking stores. There were about 20 people already in there, and I just wanted to pick up a DS, a used DS, maybe like one or two titles with it or something. This motherfucker, first off, he would start ringing people up before me, even though I was in line, answering their questions while he was trying to ring my ass up, tried to sell me the warranty no less than three times. I went, you know what, you can go ahead and ring that up and shove it right up your asshole. Because he really started getting on my nerves. Because it's like, at that point, he wasn't even trying. He was trying to do a really shitty sales approach, number one, which means he shouldn't have been working there anyway. But number two, okay, you know what, if you're even going to be like that, don't sell to me. Just don't even sell to me at all. Just give me the product, ring me up, let me get the fuck out. I'm getting claustrophobic. Just horrible.
That's the kind of guy I'm talking about, yeah.
I've never really had a situation where somebody has critiqued what I'm buying, because usually I know more than them.
Oh, I know more than this ass clown. I don't claim to know as much as you do, but I'm pretty unassuming about it.
Yeah.
Because A, I'm an older gamer, and B, well, technically, according to some on the internet, I'm almost dead, but you know.
Well, it's one of those situations where if somebody started to go ahead and critique my game, I would let them finish their sentence and then kind of look at them like I wasn't impressed and just keep looking at them like I'm not impressed until they ring it up and shut up.
See, just use Gabe's line. He is a god for this, among other things. Just tell him, ring it up, Register Biscuit. That shuts him up faster than anything. I have used that a half dozen times since the first time I've read it in all kinds of stores, and it just shuts him up. Male, female, awesome. I've done it to them all. Just ring it up, Register Biscuit. I don't want to let him. The last time I did it was in Home Depot. She shut up and rang up my room, and I'm back. I'm really making myself sound like a complete dick, but it's just, I'm there to buy shit. I'm 6'2" and I move fast normally, but when I'm gonna buy something and get the hell out mode, I am no patience for bullshit. Just ring it up, do your job. We could train a howler monkey to do your job. They probably throw less poop. You know, and it's just, everybody's gotta work, and I totally understand that. And that's cool that they're doing those jobs. I don't know if I could hack it, because people would drive me crazy. But I don't need your fucking bullshit either. You know. Patrick, have you ever run into this? The Canadians are known for being a lot friendlier. I've found that to be true with my trips to Calgary and some of the antics I did there when I was younger, and Edmonton. So, any of these problems Guns Agent and I are talking about?
Just one time, and it wasn't that they were rude or they were looking at your games and saying, you know, oh, casual gamer, oh, it's a PlayStation. But there was one guy, I remember I was just looking around. Half the time I go to Electronic Boutique, I don't buy anything at EB Games. I'm just looking and listening to one of the employees, and this guy was pretty old. Everyone else there was probably high school age, and he starts talking about the old days and how great video games were. He's like, I remember playing where there weren't even graphics, and he was like so condescending. It was so funny. What's that game with text?
That's so
text.
What? I played Zork too, you fucking tool. Yeah. It doesn't make you a god.
That's what he was talking about, eh? And he's just going on and on. I just wanted to tell him to shut the hell up and sell video games. That's why he's there. But it was weird because he came off as someone who just started working there, and it looked like he was pretty new because the other staff got along and knew each other. They didn't really talk to this guy too much. He was just so funny. Like, I kind of stuck around and pretended like I was looking at games just to listen to this moron. It's like, talking about how, oh, the old days. Yeah, was it Zork? Is that what you're saying it was called? Zork?
Yeah, yeah. I played it.
It's hilarious.
I'm apparently the same ancient age he is, because I played Zork. I remember those days. They sucked. Yeah. Zork was a good game, but those days sucked.
I mean, he wasn't being condescending, but, you know, a guy like that, I'm sure if someone went and bought a game, he would have...
Zork! Zork!
Yeah.
Fuck that shit. Return to Zork.
Now with 30% more gurus. No, I see. What I'm waiting for is Zork Forever. That's what I'm waiting for.
Yep. You know, they've made about 8 Zork games, I think.
I know.
It's fucking ridiculous.
You reminded me of something, though. You said Ball, Good Sage. Classic story about Software Etc. here, which I think is now owned by GameStop too. Our Software Etc. looked like a Neanderthal's cave, and it was staffed by very similar large men. It was kind of like being at your own mini version of a comic convention. It stunk of Doritos and Mountain Dew and sweat, and you only went in there when you absolutely had to. About a year and a half ago, let's see, I've been back in California since 07. Yeah, I want to say like mid 08, they hired a, not teenager, but not ancient like me, girl, attractive, But yeah. newer stuff. I'd almost bet she knew as much as you do about video games history and stuff like that. I was rather impressed.
Oh, nice.
I saw her in there like 3 times, and then she was not there one day, and I go, hey, what happened to, and I can't remember her name now, and they go, oh, we fired her. She just didn't fit the software, et cetera, mold.
Yes.
And I'm like, you're damn right, she didn't, and I put down what I was thinking about buying and going, you know, I don't really need this, and I walked out of there, and I haven't spent a dime in there since. They fired one employee who actually knew what she was doing and just made the other fat slobs feel so inferior that they shit-canned her ass over it.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. And I haven't done business with them since. I think in that mall they're GameStop now, so I think they have been bought out by GameStop, and it's like, ugh.
Well, you're overqualified. Yeah. Oh, you mean I have a high school diploma?
Tried to make the moves on her, and she shot them down or something. I don't know.
Oh, God.
Probably.
Oh, God. Some of these guys would turn straight women into lesbians. I mean, believe me. Total mouth-breathing crowd. I mean, it's just, oh. I kept wondering where they were getting them from. I kept looking under bridges around that town to see if, like, the trolls were missing or something.
Kind of like maybe Todd from Code Monkeys.
Exactly like Todd from Code Monkeys.
No, you guys just don't get it. You don't understand my excellence.
It was like a cross between Todd from Code Monkeys and the stapler guy from Office Space.
What, Milton or Lundberg?
The one that went stapler.
Oh, Milton.
No. Yep. Milton, thank you.
Yep.
It was kind of a cross between those two, Todd and Milton. Yeah. I think the only reason they were hired is they had opposable thumbs and couldn't move fast enough to realize what a mistake they'd made. And believe me, I could outrun most of these guys with 2 broken legs. So I just thought, since we didn't really have any gamer dicks and I didn't run across any either, that we'd thrash on electronics employees. And I will admit, as a disclaimer, not all of them are like that, and I've had a lot of enjoyable experiences, but that guy's critiquing has kind of been stuck in my craw ever since he did it to me late last year, and it's just like, what? Really? You're going to judge what I'm buying? And so, in lieu of Gamer Dick this week, I thought I'd bring that up. Unless you gentlemen got anything else, I think I'm going to give him an email address, and we're out of here for this show. So if you would like to send us questions, comments, insults, bribes, or just money in general, the email address is morphenation23@gmail.com, morphenation23@gmail.com. Until episode 6, I will see you guys later.
See ya.
Take up.
Yeah.
Take up.
Try lies.
Gossip.